This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. We have Mr. Larry Rothman on today, so we're going to have a really great show. We want to let you know that this show is brought to you by At Home Care, and that's Melissa Warren's business. And they come into your home, take care of all your duties, and run all your errands for you. And if you've gotten to that stage in your life where it's becoming more and more difficult and you're afraid you're going to have to do something else, give them a call. It's 713-4639. And you can pull it up on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com, and I'll guarantee you they'll solve your problem for you. And that number again, 713-4639. Larry, you're one of the more interesting people I've known most of my life, actually. And you've been in the photography business and still are in the photography business, and one of the best around. In fact, you did the best portrait for us in our class of 59. I mean, it was a great portrait. Just about everybody in our class kept those pictures. In fact, I was calling one of my buddies and telling her what our schedule was going to be for this week. And I said, Larry Rothman is going to be on Thursday. It just tickled her to death. She said, he made the best picture. Said they were just absolutely wonderful. And that was a large group. I don't know how you were able to clarify each and every individual in there, but you did.
Well, it's just experience there, Truman. And when you're taking a photograph of a group shot, you have to build tiers so you can be able to see everybody's face, because if you don't build tiers, somebody's going to be hiding behind somebody else in the photograph. And I always tell the folks in a group shot when I'm photographing them, if you can't see the camera, remember the camera cannot see you. So the secret is to build tiers. If you're going to have three rows, you build three tiers where everybody's head is above everybody else's.
You do just about all kinds of photography. I mean, you do weddings and special events, I guess, are the big thing going right now.
Right. The big thing going right now is your weddings, and also what we'll be starting off real soon here will be high school senior portraits. Mm-hmm. Now, the high school senior has to go to the school contract photographer in order to be in the yearbook.
Right.
But that's where the obligation ends, and any and every senior in Rutherford County can go to any photographer they want to go to purchase their own personal senior portraits. And we do a lot of senior portraits. My seniors come to us on their own, and we also do a lot of weddings.
You know, it's so special to have your picture done the way that you want it when you get to be a senior, because you're going to have that picture for the rest of your life. I mean, we still got our pictures hung up, believe it or not. I mean, as bad as I looked, I mean, I looked just like me. I guess that's why.
Well,
but it is great to know that you have that option.
Yeah, back when we were in high school, of course, Delbert Studio made the senior portraits.
Right.
And we just had our formal shots made, and that was it. And nowadays, we still do the formal shots mainly for the parents, but the kids like to bring in their own casual clothes and outfits and different things and hobbies and things like that. So senior portraits today are more personalized than they were when we were growing up.
That's good. Well, I still hate my haircut today. I guess we all did when we were seniors.
But, you know, a senior portrait is one of the things that's going to be with you the rest of your life.
Oh, yes.
It's always going to be hanging up. A lot of times seniors buy a senior ring, and once they graduate from high school, some of them go on to college, some start working, and they gain weight, can't wear the ring anymore. Mm-hmm. And once they graduate from college, they don't want to wear the senior high school ring anymore. They want that college ring.
Mm-hmm.
So your senior portrait will always be with you the rest of your entire life.
And it'll not only be with you, but it'll be with all of your kids and grandkids and all that. That'll be the one thing that they'll want to look at and see what you look like during that period.
That's true.
And you have moved. You used to be on Broad Street. And what is that now? Middle Tennessee Boulevard, I guess.
Yes, sir.
And you've moved to a new location.
Yes, sir. We're right now we're at 315 Hickerson Drive. Mm-hmm. We're in Suite B. And Hickerson Drive is a street that runs right into Canonsburg, but we're at the opposite end of Canonsburg.
Oh.
And that's where we're located now.
So you're available to almost any direction right there where you are. Actually, it's even a better location than what you were.
Yes, sir. And, of course, my business partner, Al Gordon.
Who is Dr. Gordon's son.
Dr. Gordon's son. And Dr. Mm-hmm. Gordon was one of the very first eye, ear, nose, and throat specialists we had in this town mm-hmm. for a long, long time. And his son and I are in partnership together there.
And you still do that. And that's your main focus.
Correct.
But you've been over at the Jackson Heights Theater running that for a long time and having a lot of fun with it. It seems like that what you learned going to the Princes and all that, you've taken with you over there because you're one of the first ones I see when I go in there. And you always make sure that every person is taken care of when they come through that door. You welcome them in. Mm-hmm. And that's what they used to do at the Princes.
Well, thank you. Of course, I work primarily at night. Mm-hmm. Shelby Brinkley, she is the daytime manager, and mm-hmm. she is doing an excellent, excellent job. And I work at night, so therefore I can still do my photography in the daytime. And Bill Brooks and Steve McKnight are the owners of the mm-hmm. theater. And we keep the theater doing real well. We try to keep it as clean as we possibly can. You go in the restrooms, they're always kept clean.
They are.
And I always tell the people when they come out of the movie, they say, well, I'm glad y'all are here. I'm glad you're open because we prefer coming over here. And I always tell them, I say, well, if you ever come to this theater and you see something you don't like or something's not right, you let the manager know because we will correct it.
For people my age and even younger, it's a little bit of nostalgia going in there. Because you've been able to maintain that type of atmosphere, and in some respects you cater to people who are used to going into the Princes and all the other theaters, and I guess the Princes is the one thing that most of us that grew up in the 50s and 60s remember the most about this area. It's something about the Princes. Of course, that was before TV and mm-hmm. a lot of the other entertainment that we're used to. And that's where you went to have fun.
Well, the Princes Theater was more of the old nostalgia type theater mm-hmm. with the neon lights on the inside once mm-hmm. the lights were dim for the movie. And they had a balcony and a two-tier balcony. And it was just had a lot of atmosphere at that Princes Theater. Now, the first Princes Theater was built in 1937 here in Murfreesboro. And I believe that location was up there where Pinnacle Bank is now. Mm-hmm. And well, in 1942, the Princes Theater caught on fire.
Do you remember what happened with that? I have always wondered how in the world that theater caught on fire.
Well, don't know what it was like before they remodeled it, uh-huh. and as we knew the Princes.
Right.
And
Do you remember the movie The Majestic? It was about a theater.
Yeah.
And if you look at the front of it, it almost mirrored what the Princes Theater used to look yeah. like.
Well, the Princes Theater was owned by Crescent Amusement Company. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they had a movie theater here even before 1937, but it was a silent movie theater. And, of course, that was long before our time and everything. So in 1944, they remodeled the Princes Theater, and that's when it reopened after the fire. Mm-hmm. And then the Princes remained open until February the 14th mm-hmm. In 1972 is when the Princes actually closed. So the theater now that's in Jackson Heights Shopping Center has been here longer than what the Princes was here.
That doesn't seem possible.
It doesn't seem possible, but it is.
Of course, you and I remember when they built that theater at Jackson
yeah.
Heights. And that was big time because we were... You hunger for something like that. The Princes Theater just meant so much. And some of the managers, I can still remember some of them coming out there. And just like people are going to remember you 25 or 30 years from now.
Well, it'd be nice if they do remember me. But at the Princes Theater, of course, in 1958, Sanford Cox was the manager there. Mm-hmm. Then from 58 to 61, it was Richard Hawk. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he had two sons, Alan and Jerry Hawk.
I remember Alan.
That we went to school with.
Right.
And then 1961 is when Joe Thomason, we refer to him as Joe T, mm-hmm. he came here and he took over as the manager at that point and was the manager of the theater here, I guess, up until his death. And, of course, 1947 to 1950, James Knox Barrett. He was the head projectionist, and he worked for that movie company for 33 years, from 1947 to 1980.
That's amazing. Every movie I saw there, he was running the reel. That's unbelievable.
And in between the movies, he would come down and take up tickets as people were coming in the theater. So he did a little bit of everything at that theater.
Do you ever remember when you're watching the theater in the movie, and all of a sudden it starts going all over the place, and I guess maybe the film broke or whatever? That had to have been a tough job. Did you ever, were you lucky enough to ever go up in that balcony section where the reel was and watch him work?
No, I never did get up there in the Princess Theater because I was just a young kid and they probably wouldn't allow anybody up there. But back then, when you were sitting in the theater watching a movie, you see a little white circle pop up on the screen, usually up in the upper right-hand corner. Well, that was a signal to the guy in the projection room to get ready to start the other projector, because then they had one reel on the projector. Then when that circle would come on, they'd start the other projector, and the film would continue on without a break in there. And a lot of times, movies were on different reels. Nowadays, at the theater at Jackson Heights, at the Premier 6 movie theater, everything is on a platter. And the film is in one continuous
You're talking about a platter like a 45 or a 78 or something like that?
Yeah, but it's huge. It's, it's a real big platter. And the film, you thread it into the projector, and it goes through, and as it comes out of the projector, it's rewinding up on another platter, ready to start again. You don't rewind your films like you used to have to.
Now, when you had the reels back then, say if you had something like Gone with the Wind, was an extremely long movie, and had during the break, was that movie made so that people could actually come out and take a break and go out and walk around? Or was it made, did you have the break because you had to put another reel in?
No, it's probably mainly for people to relax, walk around and stretch your legs a little bit, and mainly go to the concession stands and get more popcorn, drinks, and candy and things like that. Like Gone with the Wind, when the one projector ran out and you start the second projector to continue the movie on without a break in there, then they would rewind the film on that projector, put it back in the can, then get another reel out and put it on that projector to get ready to go again when the other projector was getting to the end. So I'm sure it was a big task of being a projectionist back then, a lot more than it is today. Also, at our theater, we have one digital projector already installed, and it's been installed for about 3 weeks now. The other digital projector is supposed to be ready to go this weekend, this Friday.
Now, how big a difference will that make in the picture?
Well, it's really, really something. You have to go down there and just look at that digital projector, because you can program that entire projector to start and end on every single showtime for the entire week. And all you got to do is start it when you get there, and it takes care of itself the rest of the time.
Now, you have a number of theaters that you go into over at Jackson Heights. And say if you got seven movies or eight, however many you go in at one time, some of those movies are going to be a whole lot more popular than others. But as I have seen, whether you've got a small crowd or a very sparse crowd or a large crowd, you're going to run it on time no matter what. If you want to go see a movie, you're going to be able to see it if just one person comes in. And that's what I find that fascinating, and I find it great, really, that you try to accommodate the public the way you do. And you also run a pretty tight ship. I mean, it's very friendly, laid back going in. But you don't see any trouble. You don't hear any excess noise or people acting up or whatever. But if they do, you take care of it right away.
We do, and we work very hard to accommodate our customers, because we really do appreciate our customers coming down there. And we try to let people know that you don't talk on your cell phone while the movie's going on. If your cell phone goes off, put it on vibrate, come out in the lobby and talk on it if you need to talk to someone. But don't be disturbing your neighbors that's inside the theater. And we have a real good crowd of people coming down there. 98% of the people that come in there, they are very polite and they behave themselves. Of course, you're always going to have that 1 or 2% of people, no matter where you go in any kind of business, is going to kind of cut a dido from time to time.
Now, I've always wondered, when you get the selection of movies, are these movies that you select yourself, or do the filmmakers pretty much dictate that?
Well, Bill Brooks, he's the theater owner, he and Steve McKnight, and Bill Brooks is primarily the one who selects the movies that we're going to get. There are more movies probably released every single week or 2 weeks than you know we actually get. The movie studios sometimes will only send certain movies to certain parts of the country because they know some parts of the country is not going to do that well. That happens occasionally too. Now, sometimes you might see an ad for a movie on TV. And if it's a limited edition release, what that means is the studios did not make as many copies of that particular film. So therefore, it usually only goes to the larger cities like Nashville. And so we would never get a movie like that. And a lot of limited releases do come in this area.
I don't see how in the world they could call a city like Murfreesboro or Smyrna, something like that, where large numbers actually go to the theater here, and they're multifaceted. They really are. Their interest is spread all across in this particular area. And it looks like that the theaters would be generous in giving you guys the all the films that you would want.
Well, it's just certain ones, like I say, when they're limited printed, and they just go to the larger cities that can hold the larger crowds. That's the way the studios look at it.
Now, you and I grew up watching the Three Stooges.
That's true.
Larry, Curly, and Moe. I mean, Shemp was all right, but it's Larry, Curly, and Moe. I mean, I still, if they come on, I have to watch them. Now, there is a new film coming out, The Three Stooges, and I was fortunate enough to see the previews on it. It's going to be hilarious.
Absolutely hilarious.
And they hit the three characters right on the button.
That is true, and I can't wait to see it myself, and it starts tomorrow, Friday the, what's tomorrow? Friday the
13th.
13th, that's right, good luck.
Yeah.
That's my lucky number, the 13.
Well, it was Pogo's lucky number, too.
I defy superstition, so I pick number 13 as my lucky number. But anyway, The Three Stooges starts tomorrow, and also we're having another movie, Cabin in the Woods. That's kind of a horror suspense movie, and that'll be real popular as well.
Now, the young people may much like Cabin in the Sky, which I don't understand more than The Three Stooges, because Zach was talking to us earlier, and he's going to go watch Cabin in the Sky.
Yeah.
And I don't understand that attitude. You know, funny's funny.
Well, The Three Stooges was extremely popular when we were going to the movies as kids. And the sad note about The Three Stooges is the studios did not let them know how popular they were, because then they knew they would ask for a raise. So the studios was holding back a lot of that fan mail that they got, and they never had a clue how popular they really were.
No royalties.
Until after they stopped making all the movies. Then a college student, I forget which state it was in, but a college student saw one of their movies one time on television, and he hired them to come to his college to put on a show there. And then that's when they got to making the college circuit and started making a little bit more money at that point.
And they were a family. A lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah.
Howard, Howard, and Fine.
That's right.
And another Howard.
Yeah.
And Curly is, if I remember right, died when he had a stroke while he was on set. It was maybe in Georgia, I think, but I know it's in one of the deep south states, and it was so hot that day. I think it was something like 90-something degrees, and I think he was just sitting there and had a stroke.
Yeah, I knew Curly had a stroke, and Curly and Moe were brothers. And, of course, Larry Fine, he was a classical violin player. He really was an expert with that violin, and a lot of people don't realize that about him.
Now, tell me about Mr. Barrett a little bit more, because he was going to be on the show with you maybe today.
Right.
We were hoping he was going to be on. And to tell some of his experiences running that reel, it has to be fascinating. I think he could almost have a little group sit down with everybody and just bring you popcorn and Coke when you come.
Right. Really don't know what all he went through, but I'm sure it had to be a lot tougher back then than what it is today. I know he had multiple movie projectors. Mm-hmm. He had reels going and had to rewind the wheel once one reel ran out, put another one on in order to finish the shows. And, of course, when we were kids growing up, you go to a movie on a Saturday, it was always a double feature movie. You had a cartoon. You also had a short subject like the Three Stooges or someone like that. And so I'm sure he...
And cereals.
And cereals. And he stayed real busy up there in that projection room. And how he did all that, I don't know.
Now, you guys, do you do a morning show on Saturday mornings?
No, we do not. The theater opens every day at 1:30. Mm-hmm. We're open 7 days a week, every week of the year. Mm-hmm. And the only time we close is on Christmas Eve. We close early. Mm-hmm. We're still open Christmas Eve day. But usually around 7 o'clock, when that 7 o'clock movie starts, is when we close. So our employees can get off a little bit early and go spend Christmas with their families. But then the next day, Christmas Day, regular hours, and we're there 7 days a week.
Now, you have special prices for the matinee, I guess.
Well, the matinee price, children are $7 all day long. Mm-hmm. And the matinee price for an adult is $7.50. Mm-hmm. But between 4 o'clock and 5:30, and I think we kind of refer to that as twilight, everybody can get in for $5.50.
Wow.
Everybody, any age, everybody. And on Tuesdays, we have dollar drinks and dollar popcorn. Mm. And we also pop out popcorn fresh every single day. And we are really noted for having really good popcorn at the theater. And we have a lot of people just come in off the street who, on their way home, want to stop in and buy some popcorn. They'll come in and say, I don't want to see a movie. I just want to get some popcorn and take it home. And they do that.
Things don't change that much when it comes to popcorn and things like that. When we were kids, if it was one of those days that we couldn't go in and watch the movies, we would go by and get popcorn. And they do that now. I know popcorn's available, microwave and all that, and it's just easy to just throw it in and nuke it, as they say.
Right.
But it's not the same. It really isn't. I mean, the last time we went over there and we had that big box of popcorn, I said, well, we'll never eat this. I mean, not only did we eat it, we want to go back for more. Yeah. It's amazing.
Well, the whole key is, like I said, we pop our popcorn fresh daily, every single day. And some theaters that are really large and have 12 to 16 different screens in their theater, they buy their popcorn pre-popped, and they just put it in the popper to warm it up. And we pop ours fresh every single day.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Now, I love the popcorn. But I'm one of these people, I don't like to be disrupted when I'm watching. I don't want any noise around me. And it's just something, if I get about six or seven people around me and everybody's chewing popcorn at one time, I don't know, maybe I'm getting old, I guess. But that's one of the beauties about going there. It's just so relaxing, and I sometimes sit there and I wait for one of you guys to call me and say my mom and dad's out there waiting to pick me up like they used to at the old Princess.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Larry Ralston.
The best part of running my small business? Definitely spending hours on payroll.
I like being my own boss, but I love learning about tax codes.
I started this whole restaurant as an excuse to do payroll paperwork.
Ah, the joys of payroll. Hours spent on paperwork that should be spent on your business. That's why over 1 million small business owners use Intuit Payroll. It makes paying employees and filing tax forms quick and easy. See for yourself with a 30-day free trial of Intuit Payroll. Learn more at payroll.com.
You take your 6-year-old to the playground. You watch her run from the slide to the swings. Another mother strikes up a conversation. You take your eye off your daughter for a few seconds. You look back, and she's gone.
Lily? Lily?
Every parent knows that feeling. Imagine if she were actually abducted. To receive free Amber Alerts on your cell phone, go to wirelessamberalerts.org. A child is calling for help. Brought to you by the Wireless Foundation, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and the Ad Council.
The time is now. Bob Ward's Auction. The time is now.
the liquidation of a business on Saturday, May the 14th at 10 a.m. This is going to be in Woodbury. It's a liquidation sale. It's at 1751 Doolittle Road. All types of things will be auctioned off, including antiques. Again, this auction is going to be Saturday, May 14th at 1751 Doolittle Road in Woodbury. See pictures at BobParksAuction.com.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS, the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna, and AmeriCare Pest Control.
Hi, this is Wade Hayes of Toots Good Food and Fun Restaurant. Don't forget to try one of our delicious half-pound cheeseburgers. You can get them just about any way you want them, mushrooms, bacon, you name it. It's fresh ground beef, hand-pattied right before you order it. Come on down to Toots and get a burger. And make sure you visit Toots.com. Join our birthday club, and each year on your birthday, we'll send you a gift certificate. Good at any of our Toots locations.
Toots. Good food and fun. Toots.
Works by the Murfreesboro Art League are on display in the rotunda of the Murfreesboro City Hall now through May the 6th. Now, the 15th annual Bible Reading Marathon will be here in town starting Sunday afternoon, April the 29th, and continuing 24/7 all the way up to the National Day of Prayer. That's at noon on Thursday, May the 3rd. This year it's over at the Bible Pathways Ministries at 810 West Thompson Lane. If you have any questions or would like to be a part of this, call Karen Hawkins, 896-4243. And the March of Dimes for Babies is scheduled for Sunday afternoon, May the 6th. Circle this on your calendar. Registration's at 1 o'clock over at the DePaul Medical Office Building, right there at the Middle Tennessee Medical Center campus, Sunday, May 6th. The two-mile walk begins at 2 o'clock. And when you walk, you give hope to the more than 500,000 babies born too soon each year. My granddaughter was born at 24 weeks, and thanks to the research at the March of Dimes, she's a little over 1 year old and doing great. Let's get behind the March of Dimes for Babies Walk on Sunday, May 6th at Middle Tennessee Medical Center. And those are Good Neighbor Events.
I'm Connor Moss, and I approve this message.
Connor Moss, a working man with two jobs, understands your economic pains. He loves Murfreesboro and wants to represent you on your city council. Together, let's restore a vision for the future. Reform regulation burdening small business growth. And ensure taxpayer money is not spent wastefully. Vote Connor Moss for Murfreesboro City Council April 17th. Paid for by the committee to elect Connor Moss.
Weather-eye.
Sunshine continues through the rest of the afternoon with a high in the mid-60s. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy, low 41. Sunny on Friday, high of 73. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 61.
He knows Rutherford County as good as anybody. Truman Jones. It's the Truman Show here on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back with Larry Ralston. And the theater business is an extremely interesting business, and it kind of mirrors a little bit of the country. And one of the things that I've always found interesting, and I saw this documentary, it's been many years ago, that when you receive a film and the people come in like myself and pay for their tickets, you get very, very little of that money. The only way that you can really keep the doors open is through the concession stand. And I want you to know that I have to commend you over at Jackson Heights, because the cost of the popcorn and the candies and the snacks that you have there is probably less than any place I've ever been in.
We do. We take real great pride in our concessions, and like you said, that is really how the theater owner keeps his doors open. Mm-hmm. Because out of the sales of concessions, he pays all of his employees. He has to pay for the heat and air conditioning bill every single month, and every other bill that comes along. The studios, when they send us a film, depending on, of course, how popular that film is, mm-hmm. the studios on the average probably get 90% of that ticket sale. Mm-hmm. Goes back to the studios. And, of course, the other 10%, 15 or 20% that's left over, then the owner has to pay the sales tax out of that. So he gets very little on the ticket sale. And people just need to realize that they, if they want the theater to remain there and stay there, they need to support us at concessions, because that's what keeps the bills paid.
And I don't know how you do it over at Jackson Heights with the, Zach was mentioning it earlier when we were off the air, you go into the candy section and all that, he couldn't believe how cheap it was over there, which is amazing how they're able to operate that way. Go ahead, Zachary.
I wouldn't say cheap, but fair.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, because it's one thing to, I know that you guys make a lot of the money off of concession. I know that's where a lot of the percentage of the money comes from.
Uh-huh.
But I know a lot of other theaters I go to, they might charge more for their concession, mm-hmm. and they might be making more money off that for the people who actually buy it. But I won't buy it because it's just too much. So I think you'd probably have more people buying it at a lower cost, and you end up faring better than a lot of the other theaters that really gouge you for it and just everyone avoids.
Yeah, I'd say the majority of people that come to the theaters mm-hmm. do buy concessions, and they enjoy it. Like I say, we have a great reputation about our popcorn, and the reason we have such a great reputation is because it's popped fresh daily.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Brooks, the theater owner, he buys the best quality of popcorn seeds that he can buy. And it just all adds up by popping it fresh daily and having a good product.
Now, in the film industry, they send you the films, and you have probably a contract with them on what they send and those things mm-hmm. like that. If it's one of those really great films that they've pushed a lot and spent a lot of money advertising and doing those things, does that come at a higher price than the average film that will come through there? That the average film may be as good as that the other film, but it's not maybe an epic like that.
Yeah, movies that come through that the studios know is going to be a blockbuster, like mm-hmm. the Twilight series mm-hmm. or The Hunger Game, or Return to the Future, Back to the Future, mm-hmm. Star Wars, things like that, they have a much higher percentage that they charge us to rent that film.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to pay for the entire time we have that film. Now, some films is not as popular. Once the film comes into the studio, it may start out at 90%, but the longer we keep it, it may drop to 80%. So, but if it's a popular film, it's not going to drop, because they know that people are going to come and see it, and they will demand it.
In the last few years, have you had one particular film that you've shown here that you just pretty much had a full house every time you opened up? Is there one that just seemed to be the draw of Christ? Now, I remember years ago, well, I guess it hadn't been that long ago now, The Passion of the Christ, which had special showings.
Right.
And it was the only movie that I have ever seen that you go in, you're wall-to-wall people, not a sound in the place going in, not a sound coming out, and it was just like people were just awestruck.
Yeah. Well, that was a real big film, mm-hmm. and other big films have been the Twilight series.
Mm-hmm.
Now, myself, I've never watched any of the Twilight movies, but they're real popular among young people and college-age kids.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Harry Potter was also always a big blockbuster movie. And the most recent big movies is The Hunger Game. We sold out about five or six different shows during the first week, 10 days of The Hunger Game was here.
Let me know, what are the people saying about The Hunger Game? Because I have talked to a number of people, because I wanted to go see it, and I haven't had a chance. But I've had some tell me that I would love it, and others tell me that it would be more for kids. Now, you've seen it.
I've seen it, and I enjoyed it. I liked it, and it's mm-hmm. a series of books that were written. I think it was either three, maybe four different books called The Hunger Game.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first movie of the first book. And they will have other movies coming out in the next year or two following up for the other books. And it was an interesting movie, and I liked it, but some people, it's in the eyes of the beholder. Some
right.
people like movies like that, and some people don't. But myself, I'm an avid movie goer. I really enjoy movies. Always have, ever since I've been a teenager, or it was 10 years old, going to the Prince's on Saturdays. Always watching the movies.
Now, when are you going to start digital?
Well, we started digital about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
Theater number four, we have six theaters. Theater number four, we have a digital projector in that one. Mm-hmm. Theater number five, we're supposed to get that digital projector up and running by tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And so that's two theaters that we have digital projectors in. The other four are still film.
Now, which one, which theater is will the Three Stooges be in?
Let's see here. It's going to be in theater number three.
And so you have digital there?
No.
No, that's four. You said four.
Yeah, four and five is digital.
Oh. Why don't you switch that?
The Three Stooges are going to be in theater number three. They'll be coming in on film.
Oh. So if we don't have the digital film, do we get a reduction on our popcorn?
You have to talk to Bill Brooks about that now.
now tell me some more, because I'm really interested in your photography business. I really am. You do a great job over there, and it's got to be a lot of fun. And when people come over, well, first of all, how do they get in touch with you? I mean, yeah, I mean, they can come over in person, but I would say most of the time they would reach you either through the internet or on the telephone.
That is correct. Of course, they can find us on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It's Al Gordon and Larry Ralston Photography on Facebook.
That's Al Gordon, not Al Gore.
Al Gordon, G-O-R-D-O-N. And we also have a website, and our website is the www.gordonralstonphotography.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, when they come in, most of the people that would come in or have a wedding or an anniversary or anything like that. Now, I presume here we are in April, you're getting ready for a lot of weddings.
We are. We've got a lot of weddings lined up on the books, and they are coming in just about every single week. And we don't have a whole lot of dates left open just yet. We got a call this morning. We arrived at the studio this morning. The lady called, and her daughter is getting married down in the Bahamas, and she's thinking about wanting Al to go down there and photograph the wedding. And he says, sure, he'd be glad to go down there and photograph the wedding for her. We hadn't booked it yet. They're just in the stage of talking about it right now.
That is great.
But we travel all over, and like we said once before, when was Al and I were both here a couple months ago, Al made a wedding photograph that was selected the number one photograph all around the world.
I heard about that.
And that was an amazing, amazing photograph. It's real, real pretty, and it has a lot of emotion into that photograph.
Now, do you say if I contact you and I have a daughter that's getting married, and when you start planning all this, do you just kind of, is it a layout, and you say you're going to do this before all this, or is it strictly up to the bride when you end up with that?
It's strictly up to the bride. Mm-hmm. It's the bride's choice who she wants to get to photograph her wedding. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of friends who say, well, my son's getting married, and, you know, you need to say something to him. Well, it's up to the bride generally to
She controls it all.
Yeah, more likely in most cases. And weddings are booked anywhere from 3 months to a year, year and a half out. Mm-hmm. The longer the wedding is booked out, the more planning that bride and groom and the bride's parents can put into planning that wedding. Mm-hmm. However, I photograph a lot of weddings that we're only planning 3 months out. And a lot of times you can tell the difference on how well the wedding flows by how far out that bride planned for her wedding.
And I'm sure you do a lot of family portraits where people like to keep up with the growth of their kids and how they look from 1 year, 5 years difference and all that.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you there's a lot of portraits out there in people's homes that's got Ralston's photography on it.
It does, and my partner, Al Gordon, that's really how he got started into the photography business, because I photographed his mother and father, and it was hanging on their wall, and he saw my name written on the portrait, and he said, oh, I didn't realize you could make money making portraits like this. So that's what kind of prompted him to go into the photography business. That's what he told me. And Al is a very, very good wedding photographer. He's a very, very good high school senior photographer. Mm-hmm. We also do children, babies, families, high school reunions, as you were talking about earlier. And my high school reunion is coming up the first weekend in June. And it's going to be here in town.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Are you with Jeff Jordan?
I am. I'm with Jeff Jordan. He and I graduate from high school.
Susan Taylor,
Charlene Norris, who I think is your cousin.
She is.
And she's a wonderful
person.
Well,
you had a bright class.
I did. Sure did. They're brighter than I am, though, see.
And it's coming up when?
June the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
June the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because I was thinking that Jeff and Susan had told me that they want to be back on the show so that they can alert all the classmates to be there, because that's something special. When you have that particular year, I'm not going to say which year it is, but when it comes up, it's so interesting to watch all the people and see what they've done listen to all their stories and hear about their families and things like that that you don't even think about. I still remember our graduating night in our central class, and everybody stood in a circle, believe it or not, held hands, and sang "Auld Lang Syne." Can you remember that?
I can.
It's unbelievable. It doesn't seem, time just flies by, but we grew up in the best of times, the best of all worlds. And you were talking about Al Gordon. His daddy wrote a book about baseball in this area, and it's one of the most fascinating books. I've got it at home, and it relives the times of the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, and it actually reflects on all of the neighborhoods in Rutherford County. I mean, it could be Rockvale or Kittrell or Christiana or Smyrna. All those are it's just bringing back the history of this community.
Yeah, I can remember when I was about 10 years old going out to a lot of these communities and seeing people play. My cousin Ed Todd Jr., he was a pitcher.
He was a good ball player.
At the Crescent Ball Field area. And I remember seeing him and James Faulkner and a lot of the players playing baseball. And I remember you and your brother Michael playing Little League. I'd be down at the Grantland Rice Ballpark. And it seemed like every time you and Michael got up to bat, y'all always knocked a home run.
Well, Grantland Rice was a whole lot harder to hit a home run than it was at campus school, I can tell you that. Of course, you are more prone to injuries. I don't know if all those that are listening that played at Grantland Rice, it was one of the rockiest fields I've ever played on. And if you left without bruises or bleeding somewhere, you were lucky.
Well,
but you got to admit, those coaches worked hard on keeping that field as good as they could.
They did. And also, you're talking about Little League and Babe Ruth Lee, you have to mention Sam Kerr. Because Sam Kerr, he had a statue about him that every time I saw that guy, he would always remind me of Babe Ruth. He had that kind of a body built, I guess, just like Babe Ruth. And that's who I always thought of every time I see Sam Kerr play baseball.
Now, why would his body look like Babe Ruth's body?
It's just the way he was built, I guess. I mean, that's who he always reminded me of.
Sam worked hard in the recreation here, and he was one of those people that we all grew up with. And I loved playing against him because he was extremely competitive.
Yeah.
And the more competitive they are, the more you want to beat them. That's just the way it is. And I'm very fortunate, Larry, that one of my grandsons is playing ball in the NBA.
Oh, great.
He's 10 years old, and my son's Barry's coaching the team. But I am an assistant coach. And I get to coach batting practice, and then I get to actually work on third base when we're playing the games. And we're 3-0. They're the Rattlers.
Well, that's good.
And actually, we're sponsoring them, which gives me a lot of pride.
Well, I'll brag on my son here for just a minute, too.
Fire on.
Because my son, Spencer Rawson, he's out in L.A., California.
Oh, my.
And he's trying to get into acting and stand-up comedy. And he's also does this hip-hop type dance instructing. And he is a dance instructor for 3 different schools out there, so therefore he doesn't have to be a waiter and wait on tables to make his ends meet until an acting job comes along. He's made 3 or 4 commercials.
Great.
But they're all aired out in the West Coast.
Oh.
And he just recently was able to join the SAG union out there, Actors Union. So he should be...
Screen Actors Guild, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
And Spencer is about 6'2", and I'm very proud of him. And my daughter, Sarah, she lives in Hermitage, and she just recently had a little girl about 6 months ago, and her name is Sophie. And they're all seem to be doing just fine.
You're proud of them, aren't you?
I am very much proud of them.
Now, we just didn't have just the theaters downtown. We had the drive-in theaters when you and I were kids, and that was a big draw back in the 50s especially.
Yeah, the very first drive-in that we had here was 1950, and it was the Starlight Drive-In.
Remember it well.
Out there on 231 South, mm-hmm. about where, just across the river, it was on the left there, mm-hmm. about where Indian Hills is right. now, the golf mm-hmm. course. Then in 1958, Tom Lane, he built the four-lane drive-in theater out on Highway 41. And it was always called four-lane theater, and I always thought it was because of the four-lane highway. Mm-hmm. But I was told just a few days ago that it was caused because Tom Lane had his wife and two children, and they were four lanes. So that's how you come up with the name four-lane drive-in.
Actually, I used to ride some with Steve mm-hmm. back when we were on patrol in the early days, in the early 70s. And actually, I guess it was because of him. We got to watch the movies free because we'd sit in that little spot where you could see the movies. And you could actually hear the movies over there, which we had a great spot.
Mm-hmm. Well, long about, I don't know, a few years later, Martin Theater, they bought Tom Lane's Drive-In mm-hmm. Theater. And they changed the name to Marlboro. And
that.
Martin Brothers.
Yeah.
And so they also had the theater at Jackson Heights Shopping Center. And the very first theater that opened up in Jackson Heights Shopping Center was 1967. And it was just a one-screen theater.
I thought it was earlier than that.
No, 1967 is when it opened up. One-screen theater. And the very first movie played there was Fred MacMurray and Vera Miles in Follow Me Boys. And
Vera Miles was a great actress.
She was, uh-huh. And so when they added two more theaters there, well, actually, when they made it a twin theater, it was 1973. Mm-hmm. And Buford Pusser was there for that opening, and he was there with his Walking Tall stick, and they were playing the movie Walking Tall.
Yeah, he came to down to visit us at 400 West Main Street at the sheriff's office and gave a number of us some sticks with his name on it.
Yeah. And 1983 is when they made the theater a fourplex theater. Mm-hmm. And the two movies playing then was Back to the Future and Indiana Jones. They were the opening movies. Mm-hmm. And then in 1988 is when they have changed it to a sixplex, and that's what it is today. We have six theaters at that theater.
And I'm glad you do have six. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Larry Ross.
Weatherize.
Sunshine continues through the rest of the afternoon with a high in the mid-60s. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy, low of 41. Sunny on Friday, high of 73. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 61.
If you drive a GM vehicle, listen up.
We can do gauge repairs for half the price you're charged at the auto dealer, and it won't take 2 weeks.
This is Amy at Todd's Complete Auto Care Center. We can do it same day.
This is Shelby.
Come see me.
We're on Southeast Broad across from the Discovery Center.
In Rutherford County, more than 4,000 youth participate in 4-H educational programs each year. This is 4-H agent Michael Shirley, and I encourage you to support the 4-H Youth Development Program here in Rutherford County. Contact the Rutherford County Extension Office at 898-7710.
Our good neighbor of the day today is Chris Massaro, the athletic director of MTSU, for his dedication to MTSU sports. Chris Massaro is going to receive free flowers today, compliments of Ryan's Flower Shop, after being nominated the Good Neighbor of the Day.
The Truman Show now continues on the Voice of Rutherford County, WGNS, AM and FM.
Welcome back with Larry Ross. And Mayor, we were talking about your how to get in touch with you, and
I gave the wrong website.
You said something a little that was not correct.
That's true. I gave the wrong website. Getting nervous up here with the great Truman Jones and everything. Our website is GordonRalstonPhoto.com. Mm-hmm. That's GordonRalstonPhoto, PHOTO.com.
Great. Now, I know you had a list of some of the things that you want to talk about when you came in here, and one of them is about one of my favorite actors ever on the screen. When I was a kid, I could not wait for him to open his mouth, and that was George Gabby Hayes. And he actually came here.
He came here in Murfreesboro at the theater at Jackson Heights mm-hmm. in 1965. He had a personal appearance here.
Well, I'd love to have seen that. I was in the service at that time.
I was too, so I didn't get to see him either.
You know, he, I was talking to Cheryl Rogers, Roy Rogers' daughter. She was on the show last year, I think it was. And she was saying that they absolutely loved Gabby Hayes. Said he was the light of all their lives. There was just something about him that was special. I mean, it was almost like he was her granddaddy or her uncle or something like that. And I just wished that I could have met him just one time.
Well, they say he was a very, very nice man, mm-hmm. real nice. And of all the Roy Rogers and Dale Evans movies, between Roy Rogers, who was the king of the Cowboys, the movie star, and Dale Evans, his sidekick, and leading lady, I should say, and Gabby Hayes, of those three, you know who was the highest paid actor?
Probably George Gabby.
George Gabby Hayes was the highest paid actor because he had been acting on stage in New York, and he moved to California to retire. Then the Depression hit, and then he had to go back to acting again. So he is already an established actor. Then the next highest paid actor or actress was Dale Evans. And Roy Rogers was the least paid, but yet he was the star, and he was the king of the Cowboys.
Now, where is the sense in that?
I don't know.
I guarantee you that wouldn't be happening today.
It probably wouldn't, but that really shocked me when I found that out. And Cheryl Rogers wrote a book, Growing Up with Roy Rogers and Dale Evans. And she explains all that in her book.
I hope she comes back here. I know Fred Goodwin does a lot of work with them. And, and last time I talked to him, I was hopeful that she was going to come back this year. And I think she
They are June the 15th. They're going to be back in this area. She's going to be putting on a talk for the Farm Bureau Company.
Okay, good. And another one of the Cowboys, not the king, but I guess he would be in there somewhere, would be Gene Autry. And I was listening to Jimmy C. Newman yesterday. And he has told me this before, that he was the reason that he got into the entertainment business like he did. He said that he went to see a movie with Gene Autry in it, and it made such an impression on him that he wanted to be just like Gene Autry. And of course, everybody knows that he became extremely successful on his own.
Yeah. Well, I don't know for sure. I hadn't been able to find any hard facts on this, but I was told that during the late 30s or early 40s that Gene Autry did come to Murfreesboro to make an appearance here. But I haven't been able to nail that down, find out exactly for sure. But I do remember that Roy Rogers, Dale Evans, and the Sons of the Pioneers came to Nashville in around 1954-55. And they appeared at the Grand Ole Opry building in Nashville. I was sitting in the audience. My dad took me and my brothers, and I was sitting there in the audience, and I still got the program book from that show.
That's amazing. Now, back then, it was fairly common for big stars to do promotion tours. And do they still do that? Because you don't hear much of that anymore.
I really don't know if they're still doing it or not. But in the Southeast, back then, a lot of the Cowboy stars would tour throughout the whole Southeast and promoting their movies and so forth. Nowadays, the premieres are usually held in New York and in California, I think, most of the time.
Now, when you guys show movies, you put it on the billboards, but the on the sides of the walls going in and on the outside. What do you do with those? Because to me, I mean, that's nostalgia. That's something that would be worth a whole lot to me if I had some of those.
Well, it's worth a whole lot to Bill Brooks, too, because he keeps all of that.
Oh, does he?
He does. And he knows that sometime in the future they may be really worth a lot of money. To collectors. And not every single movie that comes out, but for instance, like your Star Wars, Back to the Future, Spider-Man, Batman, he knows they are really going to be worth something sometime in the future. So he holds on to all those, and he doesn't let them go.
Now, when you get the films that come in, Where do those films go after they've had their run here?
Well, they're picked up after we are through with them, and they're delivered to the next theater who's going to be picking those up, maybe at a discount showing because they are several weeks later of the release date. Or else, if they're not going to another theater, then they may be just going back to the studio's warehouse.
I always wondered about that. I just wondered, there's no way that you can have any remakes or anything like that of the movies after. I guess they're real tightly scrutinized as to where they go and make sure everything's intact.
Right.
That's business, isn't it?
It is. It's business.
Well, it's been a great show, Larry.
Thank you.
It's always a great show.
Well, I'm glad to be
and
back.
I've got to have you back on because everybody knows that one of my fascinations is movies. I just absolutely love movies. And when you've grown up through that time when they were the great and the big stars and the role models and all that.
Yeah.
And back then, you did have good role models.
We did.
I still love those old movies. Keep playing them.
Well, we are. As long as we're there, we're going to keep it up.
And the Three Stooges.
Starts Friday the 13th, this Friday.
And that's tomorrow.
That is tomorrow.
And I'm going to do my best to be over there to see that
and
movie.
And Cabin in the Woods also starts tomorrow.
Yeah, and I think Zach Trautman will be there watching that one.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys tomorrow at 2 o'clock.